In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Last week I heard Father James at St. James Orthodox Mission in Beaufort preach about Jesus' feeding of the 5,000. And probably you heard Father Dimitri preach here. Similarly, immediately after Jesus' feeding of the 5,000, what happens is what we heard here this morning. He sends the disciples ahead in the boat, and he sends all of the 5,000 home, and he goes up onto the top of the mountain to pray. And he stayed there until the evening, the gospel says, and he was alone. He was alone. There were no other human beings with him. People had departed, the apostles, the disciples, they were all gone. But he was the incarnate Son of God. The one who is the incarnate Son of God is never alone. He goes there to pray to the Father. The incarnate Son of God, the one who is God himself. According to our misunderstanding of God, we would think to ourselves, if I were God, I wouldn't pray to myself. Of course, we know that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is not alone within himself. The Father loves the Son. The Son returns the love of the Father. And they both love the Holy Spirit of the Father. And all three are one God. And there is communion. Jesus, the incarnate Son of God, needs that communion. He needs that communion constantly. If synergy means anything, then it has something to do with what's going on even here in the prayer of Jesus the Christ on the mountain. Synergy, cooperation between our human selves and God. Synergy doesn't mean that God cooperates with us. It means that we cooperate with him. Synergy is an action where not just one is acting, but both are acting in harmony with the will of God. Not God acting in harmony with our will. And so Jesus goes alone to pray, goes to pray alone on the mountain. It is a perfect model of what our prayer should be. When we go to pray, too often we go out of a sense of duty, as out of a sense of responsibility. We go, we stand before the icons, and we say our prayers, or we may read the prayers for the morning or the evening from the prayer book. And we are there, physically we are there, and we are reading, we're saying the prayers, praying to God. We have to remember this model of Jesus praying. The Son of God can't be separated from the Father. The Holy Spirit, all the three are one. He goes there to pray with God the Father. When Jesus prays, it is a communion with the one he is inseparable from, the incarnate Son of God, the one who is fully a human being just like the rest of us, the one who fulfills our humanity. He goes there and prays as a human being ought to pray and is made able to pray because of him. He takes on the fullness of our humanity, and he comes and teaches us to pray our Father. And so he is going there and he prays to our Father, not just his Father, but our Father, because he is the incarnate Son of God, and yet at the same time, God himself. That is the nature of prayer. True prayer is never ourselves in separation from God, saying words to him and wondering if there's anybody on the other end of the receiver. True prayer is entrance into this oneness that Jesus the Christ has with the Father as the incarnate Son of God. And he has brought us into that oneness. That's why he teaches us to pray, Our Father. That is the nature of true prayer. That's why Metropolitan Philaret of Moscow ends his prayer. Some of us use that prayer. O Lord, grant that the coming day will be a day of peace. It ends with, Pray thou thyself in me. What on earth does that mean? Does God pray? Yes, he prays through us, through our prayer to him. It is a oneness between us and him that we enter into by prayer. That's what prayer is for. That's the nature of prayer. And our whole lives ought to be like that. We Orthodox, we have this teaching about synergy, about how cooperation between ourselves and God is possible. The West rejects it. The Roman Catholic West rejects it. The Protestant West rejects it. Synergy, cooperation between a human being and God is not possible because of the fall, they say. But we say no. That's the whole point of God's having become incarnate, coming into the world and destroyed the power of death so that we can live a life of synergy with him. So that when we pray with him. So that when we pray, he prays within us. And when we live his will through our body and the love of God that is in our heart. That is the nature of the Christian faith. And those who don't know that have lost the central part that has to do with the living of our salvation during the course of our lives. As Americans, we have a tendency to emphasize individualism. All my life as a priest, I've tended to return to the theme of preaching the problems that have to do with a kind of spiritual individualism. Someone once asked me, why do you always preach about that? Well, it's me, it's you, it's the audience. We all believe in individualism. Most of us are ex-Protestants. The first consciousness, first self-consciousness of individualism began at the time of the Protestant Reformation. Here I stand, Luther said. I can do no other. This is my faith. This is my belief. And that's the way it's been ever since. And we still think like that. We still function like that. As though we were radically separated from God, individuals. We are individual human beings. But God came in order to bring us back into his own life, so that we could live and act through him in the world. Ordinarily, we think that freedom means choosing to do something that I choose to do. It is my free choice. I am the one who is doing it. Where is the synergy in that? There's no synergy present in it. And how many of us Orthodox believe that that is the way it is and live in that kind of way? We act and live as Christians as if the things that we do are simply things that we have chosen, that it's a battle between my choosing to do the right thing or my choosing to do the wrong thing, when actually it's a battle between my choosing to act in synergy with God and do the right thing, which I cannot do without the help of God, or my choosing to rebel, abandon him, and do the wrong thing. That's the choice. But if we have ever done anything right or good or decent or just, it is because God has helped us. God works with us when we choose the good and the right and the noble and the pure. And in order to do anything else, we have to abandon him and go the other direction. And that's not freedom, that's slavery to whatever we've chosen other than God. That's the nature of freedom. We are free when we are at one with God and acting in synergy and in harmony with him. When we live in that way, all of the forces of necessity that are at large in the world because of the presence of death are nothing to us. We are free of them because we are able to act in synergy with God. That's how it actually is. That's the reality of things. But the enemy will tempt us. And after long difficulty and trial, during which time God has been sustaining us silently, not making himself known, the enemy will come to us and he will say, "Look at all that you've done. And yet things are so bad. It's enough. Give it up. Go your own way and do as you please." And if we respond, then there's only one possible choice: abandoning our action of good along with God as he sustains us, betraying him, and choosing what is wrong, dark, evil, and leads to death. That's how it actually is. It is either oneness with God and following the path of Christ, or giving ourselves over to sin and death. Which one is free? Freedom is to love God. Freedom is to live in a path of goodness and righteousness and purity and loving others. We read in the prologue of Ohrid that none of us can believe unless God grants it. Now, there's a Western way of misunderstanding that, but it's not absolutely necessary to think of it that way. None of us can believe in God without God's participation. If you say my name, you say it in the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ says. We cannot believe in God except by his participation. Because belief in the true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it returns us to where we belong. It says there in the prologue of Ohrid, "No one can accomplish an ascetical task, that is to say, a task of kenosis, a task of self-emptying, without the help of God." How often do we think of that when we are fasting? It's me fasting. I am, as they say in other confessions, I try to encourage people to avoid saying these precise words, I am giving this up for Lent, or in our case today, giving this up for the fast of the dormition, the falling asleep of the Theotokos. We're not giving it up for, that's assuming it all belongs to us. It all belongs to me. My life belongs to me. But I will take this little bit of it, and I will give it up for God. Well, that's not the reality of things. The reality of things is, I belong to God. My life, my body, is not my own. I can only live that life in synergy and harmony and cooperation with God. And abandonment of living that way is death. That's how things actually are. So how are things when it comes to spiritual effort, emptying ourselves, as by fasting we are trying to do during any fasting season? God helps us to empty ourselves of ourselves so that we can be at one with him and live with others as he lives with us in Christ. That's what's going on. We cannot engage in spiritual life without God's help. But the enemy will lie to us and tell us, feed our pride without our even realizing it, and convince us I am doing something for God. I am fasting. I am doing the right thing instead of the wrong thing. Appreciate it, God. It's difficult enough. I'm on my own. I'm independent. That's the kind of freedom that I have. And I have chosen to do these good things. And God, He ought to help me do these good things because they are things that I have chosen to do. I don't have to do them. I could go and do the wrong things just as easily as I wanted to. This is the way of thinking that we have when we are fools. When we are complete fools and we have lost our faith in the fact that to be a human being is to be at one with God and to act in harmony and synergy with Him through Christ. That's why He came. And if we live that way, then death itself can't stand over us, can't stand against us. When we come to the time when our bodies have aged because of the presence of death in this world and there is a separation of body and soul, death will not be able to triumph over us. Because God has worked this great work and brought us into His life. Why ought we not to live those lives in the world according to the life that He has given us to live, instead of falling into this foolish and childish play individualism, as though freedom and independence means freedom and independence from God? It is not the reality of human life. It is not the reality of spiritual life. St. Paul says that, we heard him say today, you are God's building. And when he expands on that and talks about himself being the master builder, sometimes we lose the connection there. Paul is the master builder. He lays down the only foundation there can be. The foundation of Christ. The foundation on the basis of which, when we go to pray following the model that we saw Jesus fulfilling. Going to pray to God who is our Father, His and ours. Entering into a communion with God where we are able to say, pray thou thyself in me. That's the foundation. The foundation is the reality of the new life that we are able to live. That's the foundation. No other foundation can be made. And Paul, the master builder, has laid that foundation. But the foundation isn't Paul. The foundation isn't his teaching. The foundation is Christ himself. That's why Paul, he's the master builder, because he is the one that is entrusted to lay the foundation. And then it's up to us to live our lives on that foundation. The foundation of communion and love of God. The foundation of abandoning a faith in this world and a faith in ourselves as though we were independent of God. Even Orthodox Christians can try to live their lives in that kind of way and miss the whole of the reality of the life that God has given us to live. During this brief fasting season, let us make a sincere effort to come to a knowledge of ourselves that helps us to see clearly the difference between the reality of the life that we are called to live at one with God through Christ in the Holy Spirit, through prayer and return to Him constantly by confession and repentance, and on the other hand, the illusion of trying to live life as though we were on our own. And it is up to God to help us. In that direction, there is no life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.